Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
My name is Jamie. I am your host. Very exciting show this evening. We have a special guest. Her name is Tiffany Mack Fitzgerald, the founder and creator of Black Girls Golf. So if you're interested in golf, definitely this is the show to tune into. And we'll discuss the sport as well as community building among women of color. Before we get started, I just wanted to make a few announcements. And tonight's show is just going to be Tiffany and I, so it's a one-on-one interview. But the first announcement I did want to make is we are running a giveaway on Black Girl Nerds. If you are in the New York area, you have an affinity and love for theater, then check out blackgirlnerds.com. We're giving away two tickets to one lucky winner to see A Time to Kill on Broadway, based on the courtroom drama of the same name starring Samuel L. Jackson and Matthew McConaughey. So if you go to our website, you can win tickets to that. So check it out, and there's instructions via Rafflecopter. You just tweet out at Black Girl Nerds to the Twitter handle that's for A Time to Kill on Broadway, and then use the hashtag A Time for Justice, and you'll enter to win that way. Also, our second announcement, which I'm really super, super excited about, I actually had tweeted with a couple of girls on Twitter who are 80s nerds like myself, and Candace Frederick and Kimberly Renee are 80s fans of Gem and the Holograms. So we one day decided to go ahead and tweet an episode on Twitter, and people really just got excited about it. And they were just like, wow, a live tweet of Gem and the Holograms. And then some folks were mad at me and saying, why didn't you tell me about it? So I'm announcing it now, starting Saturday, September 14th. So you've got a week's notice, guys. At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join Black Girl Nerds along with Candace Frederick and Kimberly Renee from Cinema and Noir to live tweet a 22-minute episode of the 80s animated series Gem and the Holograms. So we'll live tweet one episode per week, and you can catch Gem and the Holograms on Netflix Instant. Or if you don't have Netflix, you can also go to YouTube. Some truly, truly outrageous Gem geek out there went ahead and uploaded all three seasons of Gem and the Holograms on HD, no less. So you can go on YouTube and live tweet along with us. So it should be really exciting. We're going to use the hashtag GemLiveTweet starting Saturday, September 14th, 7 p.m. Mark your calendars. All right. So our guest tonight is Tiffany Mack Fitzgerald. She's a native of Oakland, California, a mother of three active teens, and a surrogate parent to many. She's an alumna of Grambling State University and has served many roles in corporate America. Tiffany started a consulting firm in 2001 where she assisted small businesses within marketing and public relations. She's also worked in PR and government affairs for one of the largest employers in the Quad City region. Tiffany is the founder and creator of Black Girls Golf, an organization created to change the exclusive culture of golf by introducing women and minorities to golf, making them lifelong players. Please introduce Tiffany to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be talking about golf. I'm always excited
awesome.
About golf, but really excited to be here.
Thank you so much, Tiffany, for being on the show. We really appreciate it. My first question to you is, first of all, what is Black Girls Golf, and what's the mission behind your organization?
Black Girls Golf is many things, but first and foremost, it's an organization that I created to introduce Black women and other women of color to the sport of golf, because we've been absent for so long that's my first priority. I also strive to make golf more fun, more accessible, more affordable for people, because I believe those are some of the things that have created a barrier for people like myself entering the sport. And so that's really kind of what I do and what my mission is and what I'm passionate about.
What got you started? What inspired you to even launch Black Girls Golf in the first place?
Well, I can probably liken it to being the odd man out, always feeling like you're included but not included, you're part of the circle but not really. And
mm-hmm.
when I worked in corporate America, I was getting projects that were kind of, you know, they weren't visible, they were kind of, you know, you work in your little cubicle, you don't really get to see other people. And there were young interns, young Caucasian interns, who were getting very visible projects. They were hamming it up with the executives. And I kept wondering, like, why, what's the deal here? You know, you can't blame everything on racism. You just can't.
Right.
So I was trying to figure out, like, why is this happening? I'm an experienced paid employee, and these interns are getting better projects than I am. But what I found out is that when the weather was in the executives and go play around, guess who could go? I wasn't going because I didn't know how to play golf. I didn't have any real interest in playing golf. I didn't know how to play. It seemed, you know, kind of not a thing for Black people, so I never had an interest. But over the course of about 6 months, I just kept watching this happen over and over again. And then I found that I was referred to in the office as the Black girl in marketing. Like, people didn't even know my name. And when I went and bought my first set of golf clubs that came from Kmart, All the clubs came in the bag. They were less than $100, and I took a $50 lesson, and the next time they said, let's go play, I was in, and then they learned my name. And I thought, wow, this really isn't magic. Like, if you learn how to play golf, people learn who you are, and there's almost this immediate credibility and respect you get in corporate America. And that was really the reason why I started playing. I mean, once I started playing, I saw the absence of African-Americans and African-American women on golf courses and thought, something's got to be done about this. This can't be happening.
Why do you think that there's such a large disparity among women of color in the sport of golf?
Well, like everything, it's kind of a complicated issue, and it's a very layered, complex answer. But for the most part, golf is a very exclusive sport. It is, it's costly, it takes time, it takes commitment, it's an intimidating sport to start. So if I wanted to go running, I could go to a sporting goods store and I could buy a really good pair of running shoes because I've probably seen a commercial, I've seen other people wearing them, you know, I could drive my car to the park and just go run.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to go to a sporting goods store and buy a $150 set of golf clubs, buy an $89 pair of shoes, and pull up to a golf course and say, okay, I'm just going to go hit some balls? No one's going to do that. It's a sport you have to be introduced to, and it's likely that you and I probably don't know a lot of people who play. And it just is an intimidating environment. And so we don't go out there. Like, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to enter the sport. We're not really sure what questions to ask. And for fear of seeming less cultured or, you know, less intelligent, we just kind of avoid it.
What is the connection between corporate America and golf, if there is one?
Well, there definitely is a connection. And golf was a sport when it was invented that was played by noblemen, and it was played by generals, and they were spending way too much time playing instead of strategizing for wars and things like that. And so it's always been one of those sports where the upper echelon or upper crust, so to speak, people always played. And so when you get to the executive level or when you're in corporate America, it is an opportunity for those folks who normally wouldn't have the time or don't make the time in the office to hammer something out, or they don't make the time to do lunch with someone, they'll go play golf. And it typically takes about 4 hours to play 18 holes of golf. And in 4 hours' time, you are getting to know someone on a less formal level. You're spending some informal time with them. You're getting to know them. And the rules of golf and the etiquette of golf kind of go by the honor system.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to test someone's character, someone's integrity, someone's honesty. Are they going to hit a bad shot and then it ruins the rest of the round for them? Are they lighthearted in nature? Do they like to have fun? Can they shake it off and move on to the next hole without messing up your game? You know, so there's so much you can learn about someone. And typically people do business with people they like. And in 4 hours, you really get a chance to know if you like someone or not.
So it sounds to me that golfing is not just necessarily a sport, but it's a networking opportunity. Is that something that people primarily do to get involved with the sport of golf, is to use that as a networking opportunity to move up in the corporate ladder?
It is not. I would never recommend that someone use golf as their only source or the only tool that they use for their career development. But it definitely is a very important tool, and people use it successfully all the time. I used it successfully. I immediately got some respect and credibility at work because I knew how to play golf. And I definitely would recommend not to be intimidated by the culture of the sport and find an organization in your area who can kind of hold your hand and take baby steps with you and introduce you to the sport, because as networking goes, people spend so much time, 4 hours to play 18 holes, that's a really long time. And networking events happen at golf courses and clubhouses. And there really is another layer of society that we don't, and when I say we, I mean African-American women, that we don't have access to because we haven't been exposed to those people in a more informal setting. And so when you don't play golf, you don't get a chance to network with the person that you wouldn't ordinarily run into at work.
Right. Now, recently, Condoleezza Rice, she's, I believe, and quote me if I'm wrong, she's the only African-American woman to join the Masters, and then women just started being invited to the Masters this year. Why do you think this is such a male-dominated sport?
Well, there is a joke that golf stands for gentlemen only, ladies forbidden. And golf is typically known as a gentleman's sport. You know, they have very strict rules of etiquette. There are lots of rules of play. And it's typically a place where men have been able to be men. You know, it's the good old boys club. And the Masters, by the way, was a private club. It wasn't until 1990 that they even started inviting African-Americans in general, African-American men. And so golf is just a very closed culture, and I believe it is that way by design. I believe that is one of the barriers to more African-Americans playing on a more elite level, is because the cost of it, private clubs can cost into the hundreds of thousands of dollars to join. And even if you have the money, you still have to be invited to do it. So being men only is just another way to keep it closed. And so just by nature of you learning how to play and being on a golf course, you're already shaking things up just by your mere presence on the golf course.
Do you foresee the sport of golf gaining a great deal of popularity among women of color, kind of what's happening now with tennis? You know, the U.S. Open is going on today, and we saw the Williams sisters playing. What the Williams sisters have done for tennis, do you think that that's going to be happening with golf?
I do not. And the reason I say that is because in order to be able to – now, there are several African-American women who are playing golf at the highest level in college. They're getting scholarships to college playing golf. And, oh, by the way, there are unused women's golf scholarships all over the country every single year. So if you don't play, you need to let your daughters play. You need to introduce them to the sport. I volunteered for a golf tournament where historically black college women's golf teams were part of this tournament, and 95% of the golfers on these historically black college golf teams were white.
Wow.
And we are just that absent from the sport. But one of the reasons is cost. So once you get through the collegiate level of golf, in order to tour and enter these events, these tournaments, in order to be accepted into the LPGA as a professional, it costs money. And we typically don't have the support and the sponsorships. And when I say support, I mean financial support. And we don't have the sponsorships to be able to play at the next level. And so unless and until people begin to look at golf as a way to introduce our kids to education through scholarships, as a way to add to their personal development and their career development, until we do that, we will continue to see a void when it comes to African-American men and women playing golf at the highest level.
What are you doing now with Black Girls Golf to close the gap on that void?
Well, the first thing is introduction. And I like to – I'm hosting events. I host clinics, instructional clinics, where I work with professional golf instructors who are able to meet people where they are. I mean, I've had women show up to clinics who don't even know which end of the club to use. And so we're taking people exactly where they are. If you have any interest in the sport, I encourage you to sign up for a clinic. You may hate it, but at least you tried it and you figured out a way to come outside of your comfort zone and come out on the course. I don't take people out on the course until they've been in a clinic and they get a feel for the game. I've made contacts where I'm helping women buy used golf clubs because golf can be so expensive. And, again, that's one of the major obstacles to people playing. But you've got to just try it first. And, again, it's so intimidating because it's such a closed culture and sometimes an unwelcoming environment. And so Black Girls Golf is kind of that buffer because you're playing with people who are at your level. There's lots of encouragement and lots of support. You're more comfortable, you feel more welcomed. It's just a fun environment where you're meeting other women who are interested in the sport and who are professional women. So, you know, it kind of serves a dual purpose because you're meeting other women who share some similar interests and you're learning to do something that's going to be beneficial for your personal and career development.
We've got a question on Twitter. This is from Cynthia Linnell. She asks, golf is based on an honor system, and she wonders, is there a correlation between playing the sport and how your opponent conducts business? That's a good question.
Well, you would hope that people just are who they are. You know, I know that I don't typically take people at face value, but when you're spending 4 hours playing golf with someone, you do get a front row seat into who they are. Because, again, golf is the honor system. You are keeping your own score. One of the rules is you hit the ball as it lies. So if you land in a really weird place, you have to hit it from there. So if you're playing with someone that's kind of kicking the ball into the fairway, you know, they're cussing and, you know, they hit a bad shot, you really do get to see someone's true nature because sports kind of can bring out the best or the worst in people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I think that people do sometimes play a round of golf with you and decide after that round of golf whether or not you're someone they can trust, someone they can have fun with, someone they even like.
Does your organization encourage Black women to take golf as a serious sport that they could in turn work in sort of doing it professionally with LPGA? Or is this something where you're just trying to encourage folks to use it as a hobby and just to get familiar with the sport and have fun with it?
I would love to be able to support and encourage someone who is willing to commit the time and the focus and the dedication it would take to play at that level. I am right now working with some instructors who are helping me put together some programs for junior golfers because the younger we can get girls into this sport, the more likely it is that they'll stick with it and be good enough to play at the collegiate level and hopefully get their LPGA card and be playing on a more elite level. I would like nothing more than to be able to nurture someone through that journey and see them playing on the LPGA.
I noticed that a lot of African-American celebrities that are involved in the sport, like you see Will Smith is very involved, Sean Puffy Combs is involved in the sport, Tyler Perry, that they kind of do use it as a hobby. They sort of play with it as for entertainment value. But are there African-American, both men and women, that take it seriously and are trying to be professional golfers that you know of?
There are several, but again, the problem is financial support and sponsorships. That is one of the key things that is keeping us from playing at the highest level. I mean, even if you want to tour as an amateur, golf is kind of weird. You're an amateur slash professional. But even at that level, the money it takes to pay a caddy, the money it takes to have a scorer, there's just so many things, you know, touring, having the money for travel, to participate in the different tournaments. There's just so many financial obligations as a professional player that we just don't have the support. We do not have the support to be playing at the higher level.
What are some ways that Black Girls Golf is trying to garner that kind of support, and what kind of events that you sponsor to help not only create awareness, but to raise money to get more people involved in the sport?
I have been meeting so many people, and it's so funny because when you look at the history of African Americans in golf, there are so many people who have worked so hard even to get us accepted into the PGA Tour. I mean, the PGA had a whites-only rule until 1961.
Yeah,
I mean,
heard about
that. We have just been eliminated, almost wiped off the face of this sport. You know, the Masters, that tournament, that country club that the Masters is held at, they say your caddy had to be black. If you wanted to play on that course, your caddy had to be black. But then when caddy started sharing the tournament winnings, when is the last time you saw a black caddy? You know, so the sport, the PGA is saying now that they would like to see more diversity in the sport. But you don't really see a lot of things changing. You know, golf has been very late to evolve. Black athletes have been dominating other sports for years, whereas in golf, it's still very late. And I believe that that's by design. I believe that they like the way the sport is going, and there isn't a lot of effort to change. But I've been meeting a lot of people who've been working for a number of years to try to change that, and still you don't see the change. You don't hear about these organizations. I met a woman who started an organization called the Women in Golf Foundation, and she raises money to help pay for junior-level golfers who want to tour, very serious golfers who are playing at a competitive level and who are playing in college. She's raising money to help support them financially so they can play at the highest level. So there are organizations out there, and the more work I do, the more tournaments I volunteer for, the more people I'm meeting who have been working at this for years. But the problem is golf hasn't really been seen as a cool sport. And so we just don't have the mass support. We don't have the support of the masses. So I think it's going to be a very, very long road. Even with the work I'm doing, you know, introducing women, trying to negotiate lower rates at golf courses so more women can afford to play, because you have to play a couple times a week. You should visit the driving range a couple times a week to practice your swing. And so that can get expensive. And so I'm working and meeting with golf course superintendents and talking with them about having more women-friendly courses, being able to have a porta-potty out on the course. You know, just this simple thing that keep women from playing, having a clean bathroom. I've been to pro shops, and the pro shop is kind of the place where they sell golf accessories, equipment, apparel on a golf course, and they don't have one thing for a woman. They might have some pink balls, but I can't buy a shirt. I can't buy panty liners if I have an accident on the course. You know,
wow.
There's nothing there that makes me feel welcome on a golf course as a woman. I mean, so there's so much work to do that hopefully in my lifetime I see a change, but there have been people who have been working longer than I've been alive, and golf is still in the same place it was nearly 50 years ago.
Question on Twitter from Cynthia Linnell. She wants to know, what sort of equipment do you need to get started?
So golf equipment is very expensive, and you can spend as little as you want or into the thousands of dollars for golf equipment. And so here's what I tell people to get started. You can go to a thrift shop, and you can buy secondhand golf clubs for $2 and $3 a piece. And so what I would suggest anyone do is to seek out a low-cost clinic. You can go to the PGA Tour Superstore. You can go to Get Golf Ready, which is a program hosted by the PGA of America. And you can find an instructor, register for a clinic, even if it's a free clinic at Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that, and you can test out the equipment there. Then go to the thrift shop and buy one golf club. And then go to the carpet store or take the car pad out of your car, you know, the carpet that's in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Take one of those, and you can practice your swing at home, and you've spent $10. I do not recommend that people run out and buy golf clubs. But if you've taken a class, if you've had a clinic, if you've played before and you're just a little rusty and you'd like to go buy some equipment, I would suggest that you go to a sporting goods store and try out the equipment. You tell the professional there that you're a beginner and that you'd like to invest in a beginner's set of clubs and only buy 5, 7, 9 irons, a putter, a pitching wedge, and a driver. That is all you need to get started. But if you're not at the point that you're willing to do that, go get a piece of carpet. You know, you can go to the carpet store and get those sample pads of carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the thrift store and buy a $2 or $3 club and practice at home with that. You can go to Walmart and buy little wiffle balls that are the size of a golf ball so you don't break any windows or destroy any furniture. but you can practice at home for $10. And so there are ways to make this sport affordable, but you just have to have people who are willing to help you do that and people who know how to do that. And so if you go to blackgirlsgolf.net, I have little tips and different things that you can look up. I've even got a golf purchasing guide on there that you can kind of read through and see what each club is, what it's called, the different parts of a golf club. You know, there's just so many. Golf is such a complex sport. You know, the equipment is expensive, and you can really go out and buy really beautiful equipment because it looks nice and then not know what to do with it. So I always encourage women to take baby steps and don't go out and spend a lot of money at first.
Is golf a sport that takes a great deal of skill and practice over a long period of time, or is it something you can catch on to right away by doing the tips that you just suggested?
Well, it depends on the person, and I would say that it most definitely takes time, patience, focus, those three things. And the beautiful thing about golf is that it's a sport you can play for your entire life because it has very little to do with strength or brawn. It has more to do with mechanics and technique and focus. So I can be on a golf course and I can see people who are 60 and 70 years old who hit the ball further than I do because the equipment is made to do the work. And so, you know, as a beginner, innately, you think that the harder you swing, the further the ball's going to go. And in golf, it is so the opposite. It's kind of counterintuitive. So you hit down to make the ball go up. You swing smoothly and softly to make the ball go further. I mean, so golf is kind of counterintuitive, and you have to slow down and take yourself out of it. So it definitely takes patience, focus, and yes, it does take time. I mean, Tiger's one of the top golfers in the world, and he still has a coach. He still has a really bad round of golf. So it definitely takes time and dedication and patience.
You host a radio show called Tiff Talks. Tell us more about what you discuss on your show.
Well, Tiff Talks, I have to tell you, is in hiatus right now because I'm so passionate about building Black Girls Golf that I decided I couldn't multitask. I couldn't figure out how to do both things at once. But TikTok, I'm sure you can relate to just the time it takes to put together your podcast and everything that goes into that. So I just decided, you know what, I'm going to get really, really good at one thing. But TikTok is a show I started about 2 years ago, and I feel like there are five things African-American people can do so much better at: parenting, making education a priority, fiscal responsibility, health and wellness, and civic engagement. And so those are the five things I talk about. And one of the things I'm really big on is purposeful parenting. I think that everything you do as a parent should be on purpose. There's no rule book. All your kids are unique individuals. And when you're a purposeful parent, you're really getting to know your children for the people they are, not as my kid, but for the person they are. And when you get to know the person they are, you can be more purposeful with the way you parent. And right now I'm working on a couple of ebooks that I'll be posting on TiffanyMack.com. And after I get Black Girls Golf up and running, my goal with Black Girls Golf is to create chapters in other major metro areas. And so once I've kind of gotten that to a point where it's growing and it's developing new golfers, then I'll go back to Tiff Talks. But in the meantime, I'm still on Facebook with Tiff Talks. I'm, again, writing ebooks, two of which will be done very shortly. So I'm still, you know, playing with Tiff Talks, but right now Black Girls Golf has my complete focus and attention.
What is your vision for Black Girls Golf within the next 3 to 5 years?
I would love to be in major metros around the country. I'm even getting emails from the UK. I mean, there definitely are hundreds of thousands of Black women who want to be able to play golf either as a hobby, as a way to move up in their careers. There are African-American mothers who want their daughters to play. I mean, so there's so many people that I have yet to touch. And I want to be able to touch those women who have an interest in the game, and I'd like to create chapters in other cities. And I want to be able to do an annual tournament where the funds and the proceeds are going towards helping competitive golfers afford to be able to tour. So I've got a lot of work ahead of me, and really what I need now is just support. I need to be able to get some sponsors, and sponsors are going to look at my numbers and say, hello, how many people have you touched? How many clinics have you had? How many followers do you have on Twitter? And so the more support I get, you know, right now it's a very much a grassroots movement for me, and I'd like to graduate from that grassroots so that I can touch more people.
How has the support been for Black Girls Golf? Have you found that community building has been challenging or easy?
You know, it's really funny because people hear about Black Girls Golf and they're really excited and they're like, wow, this is so cool. You're onto something. This is a great idea. And then when they find out I'm really serious about it, I'm finding it challenging to make people put their money where their mouths are. And there are plenty of women out there who are interested, but because golf, and I can't say this enough, because it requires time, patience, money, consistency over time, a lot of people don't have that kind of money to dedicate to a sport. And so one of my goals is to make golf more affordable for women. So people who are willing to do a free clinic, you know, people who are willing to offer discounts on golf apparel, people who are willing to donate golf clubs to me, used golf clubs so that I can give them to 10-year-old girls who want to play. Finding those kind of partnerships has been challenging. So people are always excited, you know, and they're always happy. But then when I follow up with them and say, hey, let's talk about how you could help me, then it kind of, the conversation gets a little quiet.
Do you think, I mean, you mentioned money as being sort of what's preventing a lot of women from being interested in the sport or engaging in the sport. What can we do financially? You mentioned scholarships. How can we build and grow more scholarships and grants and make that available for women so they can participate in the sport?
You know what? Here's the thing. So when people donate money to a cause, hopefully the cause is working to the point where people don't have to keep donating money in order for this thing to happen.
Right.
You know, and so my goal is to get to the point where Black women have created such a resounding outcry for the sport to tear down its walls. There's no reason that the same polo shirt you wear to do your gardening that you get from Walmart should cost $89 when I buy it in the golf store. Why? You know what I mean? Like, why is it that a golf bag to carry my clubs, once I had some clubs, why is a golf bag $200? You know, I have a daughter who plays basketball, and I can buy her a $12 basketball, or I can buy her an $89 basketball. With golf, there really isn't that kind of range, you know? And so hopefully I'm getting so many women excited about golf that we don't have to rely on people donating money to make it affordable for us to play.
Right, right.
You know, that's really the goal, is to be able to change the sport in a way that it is more accessible and more affordable for us. Basketball, you can go to any neighborhood in America and find a basketball hoop. How many golf courses do you see in the hood? How many? You know, and the PGA started a program called the First Tee, and their goal was to grow the sport because golf courses are losing money across the nation. People are just not playing as much. And First Tee program was meant to get kids excited about the game and to get, you know, kids who wouldn't ordinarily play exposure to the sport. But in some cities, there are golf courses in close enough proximity to kids who look like you and I who can take advantage of First Tee. But there are a lot of cities where those kids, they can't even get to the golf course. So, yeah, your program is great, and thank you so much, but what about those kids that you're not touching? You know, I want to be able to touch the kids that those programs aren't touching. And so, yes, donations are wonderful, and I am getting ready to put a donate button on blackgirlsgolf.net. I'll have a donate button there. But I don't want to have to take donations forever. You know, I want to be able to make such an impact on the sport that it just becomes accessible for people who want to play.
On Twitter, at Hugh Golden, also known as Ebony, she asks, are you interested in investors or contributions? If you are, then where can investors go to donate to your site? I know you say you don't want that over an extended period of time, but for now, where can we go to support you financially?
You know, I have been hesitant to ask for donations, but the more and more I work and toil at this, it's almost evident that I'm going to have to do that. And so I've set up a PayPal account, and by the end of next week, I'll have all the pieces in place to be able to accept donations on blackgirlsgolf.net. So work with me. I am a small organization. Really, it's just me. It is totally just me. So I'm growing. I'm kind of feeling my way through the dark. I don't have a blueprint or a template to follow. And it's becoming inevitable that I'm going to have to take donations to be able to provide free clinics because I have to pay the instructors. So by the end of next week, I will have everything in place to be able to accept donations on blackgirlsgolf.net. So I'm hoping that my exposure through your podcast, and thank you again for having me, will be able to let people know what I'm doing. And, you know, hopefully they can hear the passion from which I speak, because it just doesn't make sense to me that we've been able to excel in all these other sports, even lacrosse, soccer,
right.
I mean, you name swimming. I mean, you know, you name sports that we've, you know, traditionally been absent from that we're now making gains in, and golf is that lone ranger where nothing has really changed. And so, hold on, Ebony. Give me a week. Bear with me. I am, you know, I like to say I'm swimming my way through this. And when it gets easier, I'll be able to float. But right now, I'm definitely working really hard by myself to try to make this into something. And I didn't want to take donations, but, it, you know, although I'm meeting people who are excited, I'm just not getting the financial support from partners that I thought I would be getting. So give me a week and check blackgirlsgolf.net, and there'll be a donate button there.
Have you sought out partnerships with black-owned businesses and companies and even maybe celebrities that could be interested in sponsoring Black Girls Golf? Is that something that you've thought to do down the road?
here's the thing with that. So I feel like when you do things like that, once you get one, it makes it easier. It's kind of like priming the pump, and I don't have that one yet. So if there's anyone listening who knows someone who would like to be involved with Black Girls Golf, please, Tiffany@blackgirlsgolf.net. Email me. I am so open to working with people who have a genuine passion. You know, I don't want to just accept someone's money because it's an easy way to get some publicity or something like that. Like, I really want to be able to change the face of this sport, like literally change the face of it. And so I'm very open to working with people who share my passion. I'm very open to creating partnerships. If you go to the partners page of my website, blackgirlsgolf.net, I've got a list of ways that people can partner or sponsor or do something to help the cause. So I'm open to whatever. If people have suggestions, ideas, email me, Tiffany@blackgirlsgolf.net.
And I love the fact that you say you want to change the face of golf, because I think that's where it starts. If we see more of ourselves participating in the sport of golf, then we're going to be interested. I mean, just seeing today at the U.S. Open, the Williams sisters play, there's so many of us that are interested now in tennis because we see what they've achieved and all of the goals that they've accomplished in this sport, and they dominate the sport now. And to see that happen in golf would be a beautiful thing, and then people would be interested in participating more. So I really love the fact that you said that you want to change the face of golf, because the fact that there's just, what, Tiger Woods? That's
and
it.
Tiger Woods doesn't. Tiger claims all of his ethnicities. I would love it. Now, the Williams sisters, they're unapologetically Black. Venus showed up today with her pink braids. Serena showed up with her weaves. And remember when they played with their beads and the other players hated it because they made noise? They made no apologies for who they were. And I would love for the next elite golfer to be one of those golfers who, when they're interviewed and says, "So how do you feel to be the first African-American woman playing at this level?" She's not going to be the woman that says, "Well, it's not really a Black or white thing to me. I don't really see color." I don't want it to be her. I want it to be the woman that says, "Well, it feels good, and let me tell you why it's taken so long. Let me tell you what still needs to change about this sport." That's the woman that I want to be able to have enough money to support, to sponsor, so that she can afford to go on the tour. And that's what I want golf to be. I want golf to be more reflective of the society we live in, and it is not.
Right, right. What's the best thing about golfing, and what's the worst thing about golfing?
Okay, I have a love-hate relationship with golf, and most people do, because you can go out and play a very good round of golf, and you're just feeling really good about yourself, because it takes some dedication and patience and focus, and it just feels so good when you hit the ball in the right spot, and it just feels good. And then you can go out, and you can play like you've never held a golf club in your life. And you're like, "Oh, my God, I can't believe I just did that. How the hell did the ball end up over there?" So that's, you know, it's that love-hate thing that makes people come back. But really what I enjoy about golf is that it's a great form of exercise. I walked 9 holes today. I walked 9 holes twice on Friday. I played in the morning, and then I played in the evening. Walked it, carried my bag. I didn't use a pool cart or anything. So it's a great form of exercise. It's a great way, if you play by yourself, for some solitude. I don't think we spend enough time in quiet. You know what I mean? With no electronic device attached to you. It's a great way to just spend some time with yourself. And you're outside. You're in nature. And then when you're playing with friends, it's a great way to bond. It's a great way to connect. It's a great way to learn things about people and yourself that you didn't know. It's just an all-around wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sport, because you get exercise, you have fun, and then you can always go play with people who are just a good time. And if you play on a course that has a beverage cart, like I love adult alcoholic beverages, And so when I'm playing courses that have beverage carts and we're having a great time, you can have a party on the course. Like, people think golf is boring. And if you are bored when you play golf, it's because you're playing a girls' golf event. We have a great time.
Where can we find more information about Black Girls Golf and the events that you have happening now? Where are those happening, and what are the dates? So for those who are listening that may be in the area where you'll be sponsoring those events can attend.
I am in the Atlanta metro now, and again, I would love to be able to grow and to have chapters in other cities, but right now I'm in the Atlanta metro area, and I'm just finishing up a five-week clinic with some ladies. They went on the course today, and they'll go back on the course next week. And I'm in the process now of scheduling my fall clinics. They will be held in October, and there'll be 5 weeks with the fifth week ending where you actually go out on the course. And I host events at different golf courses, and right now it's just a matter of when I can get the best deal, because, again, one of my goals is to make golf affordable. So just check the website frequently, blackgirlsgolf.net. Check the website frequently because I'm always adding new events, because I'm constantly meeting new people and negotiating rates and different things like that. But I'm just finishing up a five-week clinic now, and we'll be starting more five-week clinics in October, and I'm working with some folks to start some junior clinics because I would love to work with some younger girls who are interested in the sport or who have parents who want them to play. So just check the website frequently because I'm always working to try to do something and add more events that are affordable for women.
That's awesome. And then the website, again, is www.blackgirlsgolf.net. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And then I know you're on Twitter. That's how I found you, by the way. Quick story. Someone had retweeted a tweet from Tiffany's Black Girls Golf Twitter account, and I saw this really cute Abby, a cartoon character of a black girl with a golf club. I just thought that was adorable. And when I clicked on the Twitter account and clicked on the link to blackgirlsgolf.net, I was like, wow, this is a real thing. This is serious. So she's got a – like, I just thought, oh, okay, this is a cute community builder, kind of like what I've done with Black Girl Nerds. But she's got a real profound organization, really trying to bring solidarity among women of color to get involved in the sport of golf. So definitely check out that website. Aside from Twitter, are you on any other social networks where folks can find you? Because I know you've gotten some new followers now that found you on Twitter.
I do, and I want to say thank you so much to the people who follow me. I really appreciate the support. I am also on Facebook, and there's someone on Facebook that does have Black Girls Golf, but I am Black Girls Golf Official. So on Facebook, I'm Black Girls Golf Official. So I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and then I have my website. And a real quick story about the Abby. So I had someone create that for me, an illustrator create that for me. And I sent her a picture of me, and I said she has to have my Afro puff. She cannot be racially ambiguous. Like, I want her skin to be black. Like,
right.
Don't make her tan. I want her to be black. And she don't make her look like a Barbie. She has to have a black woman booty. Like, don't. Don't Photoshop her booty away. Like,
that's what's up. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, this was really great information. I learned a lot about the sport. I didn't realize how financially taxing golf could be. So it sounds like that's really the only thing that's sort of keeping people from getting involved in the sport. And, man, it would be awesome just coming up with a website where you make affordable golf clubs and affordable golf attire. Like, you probably would be
right,
making crazy money and doing really well if that's the only thing that's keeping people back, is making it affordable.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm committed to this journey, and anyone who wants to join me, Tiffany@blackgirlsgolf.net. Hit me up. I would love it.
Yep, and blackgirlsgolf.net is the website. Follow her on Twitter at Black Girls Golf. Thank you so, so much, Tiffany. Next week, guys, our podcast, we're having a makeup skincare podcast. So very exciting. We've got some special guests that will be coming on who will talk about skincare, how to take care of yourself, also some makeup tips. Shaka Cumberbatch will be joining us on that podcast, and I'll be announcing the special guests because we haven't booked everybody yet, but I'll be announcing those special guests via Twitter. So same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Tiffany. Really appreciate your insight and your feedback tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Finally,
bye.
All right.